E equals MC squared. You've heard it your whole life and you have no fucking idea what it means. Essentially, it means that energy and mass are interchangeable because they are equal. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm a podcast host who makes videos with his shirt off in his living room and often has a hard time with anger and other emotions. I don't understand the theory of relativity. All that I know about it is that Einstein had figured out that time seemed to move differently the closer you got to the center of a black hole or any massive thing that had a lot of gravitational force. This led him to postulate that time was a fourth dimension. And it has been confounding and confusing us ever since. You cannot turn back time. You cannot slow it down unless, of course, you are close to a black hole, like I said. And this certainly explains why conversations with boring people seem to take forever. But it does not explain why some days are longer than others and why overall time just don't hit. We can't even really define time. If you look up synonyms for time, you're going to get measurements. Eons, hours, ages. The only real synonym for time is calling it the fourth dimension, which is what Einstein was trying to do. The only thing I can tell you for sure about time, other than it don't hit and it freaks me the fuck out, is that it marches on. It never stops. It won't stop for you. It won't stop for me. It won't stop for whatever God you're praying to. And it won't stop just because your husband's cheating on you with a woman in another town. This is Bubba Shot the Podcast. We're doing Tracy Lawrence today, and I am so excited.
Bubba Shot the Podcast, and that's right, a show about country at its height.
Gentlemen, first, the facts. Time Marches On was a song recorded by Tracy Lawrence. It was released in March 1996. It was the second single and title track from his album, Time Marches On. It was his 15th chart single of his career. It spent 3 weeks number one on the Billboard in mid-1996. It received Single of the Year nomination from the Country Music Association in 96, as well as Song of the Year nomination for both 96 and 97. I don't know how that works. Maybe they were like, we got this wrong the first time. Let's do a recount, bitches. Hanging Chads. I don't know what went down with that, but it is a rad song. I thought for our first official episode of the new year, the time theme was appropriate. And boys, you know, ironically or maybe not ironically at all, this song gives me a lot of nostalgia. I remember the summer it came out, what I was doing. I'll get into it in a minute. I love this song. How do y'all feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, when I was a kid, it was always one of my favorites just from it sounds good and is a good song in that way, you know, regard. So I always liked it. I always knew that it was like, I could always tell that it was deeper than all the other shit I was listening to, but it just had been around my whole life. So I kind of took it for granted. But like, yeah, in my more adult years, looking back at this song, I'm like, my God, man, Tracy Lawrence is really doing something with this. It's a very cinematic song.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. There's a reason for that that I'm going to get into. I don't know if y'all researched it. I'm saving a hit for you guys, and I want to talk to Tushar about something deep within our culture. Tushar, what did you think of the song?
I mean, this song is about one of my favorite subjects, passage of time, and you're going to die. It's great. I love it. it's the thing to be the saddest about. And it's so simple. It's such a, like, I pulled up the lyrics and I was like, this is a short, very simple song, but it packs in literally a lifetime, four lifetimes mm-hmm. specifically.
Yeah, it's a whole family. I mean, it's a Godfather-esque situation. Trey?
Is one of my sleeves longer than the other?
Yeah, and it looks like you're sweating because of the microphone shadow.
I'm not going to lie. You're in better shape than you've been in probably since I've known you, at least since in a while. And you look like shit right now.
But, buddy, good. Time marches on. You know, what are you going to do?
Today's episode is sponsored by Cuts Clothing. I'm kidding. I don't know who's
that's right. Yes. This is a cut shirt and fucking don't hit, apparently. I don't know what the hell is going on with this sleeve of it. I keep pulling it down. It won't go down.
Maybe you're right.
Probably your arms.
Maybe your right. Is your right titty bigger than your left titty?
I don't think so.
Okay.
that great Larry the Cable Guy joke. She came in first and third in the wet t-shirt contest.
I kind of think that is a Larry. I'm not kidding.
I know it is.
Oh, I thought you said that would be a good Larry the Cable Guy joke.
I know it is, son.
Oh, yeah.
She had one teddy bigger than the other. Came in first and third in the wet t-shirt contest.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, song hits, you know.
Does hit.
Like Corey said, I'm very sorry to do this, but I can hear myself from one of y'all.
It might be me.
I could just barely. I heard a little bit of an echo. I remember as a kid liking this song, but like kind of even thinking to myself, like, I don't think I know what this song's about.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah. I didn't like wearing beads.
You would have been six, right? I might know.
Like Corey said, songs like this, they came out and they just stayed out. You know?
Yeah, right.
Like, that some of them didn't go away, and this is one of them. And, it's like I felt like as a kid listening to it, like, I feel like I know that this is about something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what.
Yeah.
But I like it though.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the lyrics then, because I identify. And obviously, I was 2 years older than y'all. So the summer it came out, I spent like 10 days right after it came out in Sweetwater, Tennessee, with my cousin Chris's, and my cousin Chase came too. And then this girl Megan was hanging out with my cousin Sarah, who also lived down there. So the five of us were like 12. And we would go to the pool every day. And I was one of those kids in the summer. We didn't have a pool. I could go spend time with my family, but I'd never been just dropped off and left somewhere, you know, because my mama loved me. And so, all right, see you later, Corey. And I'm going to do that because it looks better till he gets back. Anyway, we were down there. Megan had a crush on me. I had a crush on her. This song was the summer jam. We were riding around in the back of Chris's older friend's trucks, just being wild. I think I might have had some beer. So it's got a very nostalgia feeling for me for that summer and time marching on, you know, within that feeling. I don't know if Corey's coming back or not. Fuck it. Let's do the lyrics.
Yeah.
He knows the song.
There's no video, like official video for this song, right?
Dude, I could have sworn that there was a video, but I looked it up. I know oftentimes I don't even try to watch the video, but this week I actually did try to watch the video. Yeah. And all I could find was him playing it live, you know, or like he's on like a stage playing it, but it pops up the little, you know how at the beginning of a music video, it'll pop up the artist and title and album and all that shit. Mm-hmm. It did that, so it looked like it was supposed to be the video, but it wasn't. But I would have bet a lot of money that there was a video to this song.
I thought the same thing. I could have sworn I remember a black and white. Yeah,
yeah,
me too.
Right. Like,
but I couldn't find it.
Sepia toned thing, yeah, with like kids playing in a yard and somebody swinging and
just
shots of the shit that's in the song. I felt like I remembered that, but I don't know why it wouldn't exist anymore if it ever did exist. So
you know what I think. You know what I think that is? I think his Paint Me a Birmingham video is shot like that.
You might be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a Mandela effect thing going on.
It should have a goddamn music video.
No, I feel like I remember, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I feel like I remember Daddy being beneath the maple tree as a shot.
Is it possible that that's how good the song is that we did it in our minds?
We all just saw it in our heads.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it then. Sister cries out from her baby bed. Brother runs in, feathers on his head. Mama's in her room, learning how to sew. Daddy's drinking beer, listening to the radio. Now, according to the lyrics I'm reading, the official lyric is Hank Williams sings Kalijah and Dear John, and time marches on. Time marches on. The reason I paused for that is there is no Hank Williams song called Kalijah. There is,
but the one where
there is
Kalijah.
Do what?
Yeah, it's
K. It's spelled with a K.
It's K A W dash. It was an Indian, not like Tushar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a song about one of our Indians over here, because you know how they hit for people.
Okay, doesn't he also have a song named Elijah?
I don't know. Not that
I'm
I know of.
About that. Well, it's not spelled with a K here, so I typed it in and it didn't come up. So I guess whatever I have is the wrong lyric. So I all right, perfect. We're already being corrected.
Yeah, it's KAW. Call Elijah.
Okay,
Elijah, LIGA.
What's the significance of those songs? I've never heard those songs. Is that like a thing?
They're just really super. Yeah, I mean, it's a timestamp for the for the Hank song.
Williams, I can't quit staring at my own sleeve. Fuck this shirt. I'll be right back. Y'all keep
Trey's gonna go change shirt.
Crazy.
All right, we're gonna keep going because time marches on.
Real quick. The feathers in his, on his head is that's an Indian
a little
thing?
Boy playing cowboy
yeah,
in Indian,
which makes sense. And then he and his daddy's listening to a song about an Indian. So like, yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's just you know Hank Williams. This is a timestamp of like this is what you know the period of time when I you know when Hank Williams is on the radio and blah blah blah. Yeah. Which you know if you're anybody that's redneck as hell during the Hank Williams time, by God, they was listening to him on the radio.
There is no song called Kalijah. I could have swore that was a big topic of conversation for us back in the day when his song came out, but I'm misremembering. That's how time works. You just misremember stuff. All right.
Yeah, it's called Elijah the Wooden Indian.
Yeah, that now is ringing a bell, but I thought there was also a different song. It doesn't matter. So the scene is set. You've got a young family, and I really love the line, learning how to sew, because you got a young wife, innocent. Already we're setting this up that she's doing her best already for her family while dad drinks beer.
Right.
And listens to the radio by himself.
Yeah, they're really.
Yeah, I swear to God, look at that other sleeve. I swear to God, look at it.
My arm.
It's your arms.
My arms have just always been like, it's the angle of something.
Did you ever break your collarbone?
No, I broke this arm.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Now, they're fine.
It's literally the way I was sitting. That's what it was.
Yeah, like this.
I had my chair turned cockeyed for some reason.
I didn't even realize it. Shirt? What's wrong with it?
Yeah. You know how my eyes don't hit? Yeah. That's what I'm blaming on.
You were like, why wouldn't my arms hit not hit either? I guess.
He's got Dwayne arms to go with his Dwayne eyes.
Quick question.
Right. That was real. I would like to formally apologize to Cuts. This also is a Cuts shirt. I like Cuts stuff. You know, they ain't sponsoring this podcast, but they sponsor our other ones. So, you know, and their stuff does hit for me. I'm sorry I blamed you for my own dipshittery, Cuts. That wasn't cool anyway. Back to the song.
He's painting a picture of a sister, brother, mom, and dad.
That's called a family.
When I
where's Bucket?
Yeah.
When I where's Slave? Is this from his perspective where he is the middle child or something?
I just felt like he was just an omniscient narrator.
Okay.
I think so.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think he's just telling the story of a family.
Cool.
Trey, I think while you were gone, we talked about this. Mama's learning how to sew. That's my favorite part of the first verse because it shows that the family's young, Mama's new to some stuff, and she's trying while Daddy's drinking beer.
Yeah, also, it's funny.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's funny because depending on who listens to this lyric, like a male listening to this, he goes, hell yeah. Daddy's drinking beer, listening to the radio, and then a woman listening to this goes, yeah, that sounds about right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I also think it's foreshadowing. So, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's great foreshadowing. Down. Yeah,
And I think that one reason I connected with the song, well, we'll get into it later. All right. You guys want to move on to the next one?
Well, I was just going to say that, like, maybe you might have said this while I was gone being stupid, but each of these verses takes place in, like, a very distinct time period in America, right?
Yeah,
like
right,
the clues that are given in there. It's like it's not just a general passage of time for you know, a made up family. It's
right.
Like it's specific. Like this
right.
was
big changes
was
in culture
like
and
late
this is
40s,
yeah.
early 50s.
Late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah, this is right after the Depression.
Well, you're making a good point too. I would say the learning how to sew, I could see people going, back in the day, I thought all women knew how to sew. I bet she's learning how to use a sewing machine.
Machine, yeah.
For the first time.
Yep.
Which is definitely a post-war 50s America situation, 40s or 50s. So, also, let's 100%. Just look it up. When Kalijah and Dear John came out.
Let me look that up real quick. I did earlier.
K-A-W-L-I-G-A.
That's the third time, I believe, we've
52.
Lovely ending his name.
that came out in 52. Okay. And Dear John came out in, oh, that's also a movie and a million other things, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Probably a letter to someone who don't hit.
51. So this is at least 52 or later.
Right.
So like you said, it's set in the time period of the scene. He does that with every couplet. This one is obviously pretty positive. Like I said, there you could probably read some tension into Daddy Drinking Beer. But if you've never heard the song, it's the first time you're listening. This is a very happy situation.
Simple life. They're having a good time.
Clearly white.
Clearly white. You know.
And if you weren't sure about that, you'll probably get it from the next one.
Yeah.
Maybe not. All right, let's get into it. I don't want to just blow through the song, but I do want to get to the end of this one and then pause for a bit and talk about some things. Sister's using rouge and clear complexion soap. Brother's wearing beads and he smokes a lot of dope. Mama is depressed, barely makes a sound. Daddy's got a girlfriend in another town. Bob Dylan sings like a rolling stone. And time marches on.
Confession, when I was a kid, because I heard this song probably before I ever heard a Bob Dylan song. Well, that's not true, but like, I didn't know a lot about Bob Dylan when I was a kid, but I knew him a lot from this song. And I always used to think, before I started listening to Bob Dylan, that he was describing how Bob Dylan sounded. You know what I'm saying? Bob Dylan sings like a rolling stone. He sang
in the way that a rolling stone would
sing. Yeah, yeah, right.
He sings like, in much the way that stones don't.
Yeah, right. But until I grew up and listened to Bob Dylan and was like, oh, he sings a song called Like a Rolling Stone, I was like, I thought Tracy Lawrence was just describing how he sang.
That's funny because I had a different but similar thing where I had heard of Bob Dylan, knew that he was saying that he had a song called that, and I was like, so Bob Dylan just ripped off the Rolling Stones? So he just was out here making songs up, just stealing people's bits or whatever?
It
was like probably reverse. I have no idea if the Rolling Stones.
I think it is. Well, first is
it came out in 65.
Slight diversion. Like a Rolling Stone, that originates with Bob Dylan. I'm asking.
I think that's an older saying. I think that's right.
Well, I
and
do
Papa
think
was
that,
a Rolling Stone is an old blues line that I would imagine is actually where the Rolling Stones.
But I do think the same thing that all those things come from, that is what the Rolling Stones, the band.
Right.
Yeah. They were very into blues. Like,
it's all from the same well, so to speak, I think, without knowing the specifics of it. It's something like that.
Yeah, no, I think that well is American black people who got no credit for any of that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's most of our whales, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of the whales. All right, a few things that I love about this this couplet, and then we're going to talk about something specific, which is, first of all, sisters using rouge and clear complexion soap. Rouge, been around forever.
Sure.
Clear complexion soap, I'm sure in some version, has been around forever, but I know from Americana, not the genre, like, you know, being into American history and American pop culture, with advertisements at that time, what we now know as the teenage girl market happened in the 60s.
Very
in the 50s,
so.
You know, your 14-year-old, you wasn't buying her shit.
Hell
came
no.
Like, you know, her
hell
complexion,
no. Don't get
makeup,
her a goddamn thing.
Marry her.
Keep her
and
locked
when
up.
She's 13, get her married, and then he can buy her.
Give that dude some land or something if it'll entice him to marry her. Whatever you got to do to get her ass out of here at an early time frame. But, no, you don't spend shit on them.
Give them a wash tub and keep them in a room. That's what happened.
That's right.
But the 60s, man. I mean, Like a Rolling Stone comes out in 65. I mean, a lot is changing. Obviously, that next line, brother's a hippie.
That's what he's right. trying to establish yeah. there. But he does it in the first line, though, really, you know, when you think about the clear complexion. So you've got a teenage girl trying to be what's the right
whore?
Word?
Yeah.
There it is. I was going to say a free woman, not necessarily a feminist.
Which is a good synonym for.
It's very it's very Gen A from Forrest Gump.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. She's got AIDS. You're right. So and right there in that first couplet, you know, we've established the era. And then we're going back to mom and dad, and where that foreshadowing was earlier, now it's right in the nose. Mom is depressed, barely makes a sound. Daddy's got a girlfriend in another town. I remember the song came out. I was 12. I had just like, so a little bit about my fam. My grandma lived with me at the time. She had just gotten Alzheimer's, et cetera, et cetera. Her man, my grandfather, who I don't like, took off. Like he when she got Alzheimer's, he was like, I'm out. And he had a new woman like immediately. And I remember saying to my mom, like, damn, that was quick. And she said, honey, he's always had a girlfriend in another town.
Right.
It's just that this was the one he moved on to. Yeah. And so I heard this song and I was like, was that a thing? And it was for sure in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it before Facebook and shit for sure.
My hillbilly mama once told me while all, you know, fucked up and mad about stuff. So it's hard for me to really dial in exactly the incident. Could have been any number of them. She was mad and ranting, and she, you know, and this ain't cool. And also, I don't know if this is true, but she told me while pissed and ranting, because I was close to my dad's dad, my grandfather, and looked up to him and shit. And she, like, in a tirade, told me once that he had all these other women and other, like, always, you know?
Yeah.
Like, basically just be like, you know, you think he was something, but he wasn't shit neither, yeah, type of thing.
My papa was that way.
Very possibly not true. I damn sure ain't never asked me ma about it. You know, but
oh, it was that wife. Side.
Yeah, yeah. My dad's not her dad. It
yeah, was she her. Was talking shit on account
she
of
was
that.
Talking shit. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. Probably shouldn't even say what I just said just now. Really, Paige at least will hear about it and then be a whole thing.
Well, I'm going to say something I shouldn't say to not change the subject, but to tack it on. I've told this on the Well Read podcast, some version of it, but at my wedding, one of my aunts, whose name I won't say, and one of Andy's cousins was there together, and it had come to pass. He was the potato chip man. His name was Pumpkin, and she worked at a grocery store, and they had an affair, and she had ended up divorced and all that. You know, she was all in, and he would never leave his woman. But we come to find out, Punkin' the potato chip man, he had a girlfriend in almost every grocery store that he was the potato chip man for. That was his move.
Can't hold the tater chip down.
Be with him for a while, mm-hmm, till they demanded he leave his wife, and then he would dump them. And that's all well and good till they both are at my wedding, because Punkin' is Andy's cousin. So Punkin' and his family are at my wedding, and my aunt are at my wedding, and she's furious. I'm like, what's wrong with Aunt Barb? And mom's like, oh, she's mad because Punkin's here. And I'm like, that's Punkin'? And he did look like a Punkin'. I don't know how he, you know, pulled all that off. Ooh, I'm getting attacked, man.
Had to chip, man. Goddamn, yeah, son.
I mean, dude, depending on the exact hookup, somebody could get me access to, like, the fresh off the line, still warm, like, Cheetos or Doritos. I'd probably suck your dick, you know.
Absolutely.
There was a time I was.
Can you imagine
those pickled Doritos?
No.
Those pickled Doritos, I couldn't find them for 2 years. It took me 2 years to find those motherfuckers.
Now, I read on the internet once, and I immediately wished I hadn't read it. I think we talked about it on the Well Read podcast. This dude was on there, and he worked at a Frito-Lay factory or whatever. And he was talking about how hard it hits to get a Cheeto, off the line,
oh,
while it's still hot from being cooked.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, how do I do that? Can I pay money to take a tour to do that or whatever?
Yeah.
He was like, no, they don't do that. That's not a thing. You can't just do that. And ever since, it's like Quaaludes from the
80s. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Get
them in Mexico,
the holy
though, right?
grail of things I can't. A treasure I can never possess.
But we hit.
Fresh
we
could, Cheetos and Quaaludes.
We could get Mexican Quaaludes.
I know you're kidding a little bit about sucking their dick, but I genuinely – if someone – I'm not kidding. I mean, I am trying to be funny, but it's for real. If someone came to me and they were like, hey, man, I all you have to do is suck my dick once a week, but what you but what you get is Butterfinger BBs, legit old recipe, like I can get them for you, and recipe. Waffle Crisp, because you can't get those, don't even exist anymore. If I get Butterfinger BBs and Waffle
Crisp once a week, he didn't even start out in the negotiation process with like once a year.
Yeah.
It just went straight to weekly.
I'd suck.
Corey's like, I know
every
what I
time
said.
You break them.
I will suck a weekly dick to have these items back in my life.
As long as I have unlimited access, not like I have to like suck the dick and then be like, okay, where's my rations? Like I can just keep accessing all these things as long as once a week I check in.
And fat, and then maybe he won't want you to suck his dick anymore.
That'd be a wild thing. Like you got to lose weight before I let you suck my dick. And I'm like, well, maybe you know, quit giving me Butterfinger BBs all the time.
Yeah, he's like, you've gotten too fat. I don't even want this.
I wonder if that's actually how Punkin dumped him.
In my experience, by the way, that would mean I could suck dick better. So. Practice, practice, practice. Sorry,
it do be that way.
It do be that way.
All right, two things. First of all, you can get Quaaludes in Mexico. We ought to do that. Second of all, Trey, do you think one of them people from that Reddit thread who was like independently wealthy or living with their mama went and got a job at Frito-Lay just to experience that and then quit? Because that would be awesome.
I would.
I don't know. Maybe. Wouldn't surprise me.
You know, that would hit.
Would it? It'd be worth it.
So, but yeah, I think, you know, that Burr bit, you know, it's like, where are those angels? You know, those women that just, you just take your day out on. Whatever, you know, just dumb.
Oh, ass, you burnt right? the shit out of it.
Just, you know, doormats, right? And look.
Is that what mama is?
We don't need to go back to that. But yeah, but I'm saying there was just a real, real long time, and it still like exists to some degree.
They became meemaws.
It was like you sat, you know, she sat in there quietly learning how to sew while he didn't do a goddamn thing except for pay all the fucking bills.
But to be fair, the house cost $1,000.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, he was a fucking turd farmer or whatever. Like, and he could, you, a turd farmer back then could have a 3-car garage. We all know it. But anyway, turd market ain't hitting a while. But I'm saying just that dynamic of, so the kids have gotten older. They're doing whatever the fuck they want because nobody really cares anymore. Or you know what I mean? Like, they're just kind of running wild in a way that don't hit for either one of these parents. I'm sure the marriage has been loveless. They probably never really cared all that much for each other. Got married when they were 17 and 18 or whatever, that type of thing. You know, and she just been in there. Getting frumpier every goddamn day. and he ain't hitting either, not a lick. They don't hit for each other, so you know, but that she wouldn't generally go and fuck around, whereas of course he would. He stayed doing that.
Yeah.
And you know, and that'll eat away at your heart and soul after you know, a few years of that type of lifestyle. And that's what you got going on here. Thank you, Tracy Lawrence. I don't mean to,
if you and this, like,
I really feel bad about even saying what I said earlier. I don't want to impart that my May Mom Pa's marriage was anything like that, because I think my mama was just being sorry. That's way more likely than I don't want to put that out there.
And on the other hand, you and this song have just described to a T my mama's parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when we get in this next verse, which we will in a few minutes, but damn, son, you was just laying it out. That was RL and flow right there. And when she finally decided to stop being a fucking doormat, God gave her Alzheimer's. What a world.
That's classic God, dude.
Classic God. All right, before we move on in the song, this is something I've been saving a little bit. I have not mentioned who the songwriter is. That is a little bit on purpose because I didn't want it to get us sidetracked in the beginning, and now we're about to do a nice detour. This song was written by the incomparable, in my opinion, Robert Valentine Braddock. Bobby Braddock, who I think is probably the greatest, or definitely top three, American country songwriters and producers. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Country Music Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He has had some hits across 40 years.
Yeah.
And I think 5 decades, because he started at the end of one and went all the way to the beginning of another. But let me check to make sure. 60, 70, 80.
Yeah, if you listen to Cocaine and Rhinestones, Bobby Braddock is a constant no matter what season or what episode or whatever you're listening to. And if that's the case, then you know someone's head to toe fucking legit.
Well, let's go through it just a little bit. His first big song was with the Statler Brothers in 67. It went to number 10. It was called Ruthless. But he had already had some lesser-known hits as a member of Marty Robbins' band. He was a piano player and one of Marty Robbins' songwriters. His last hit was People Are Crazy with Billy Currington in 2009.
Damn.
Before that, yeah. Before that, he did I Want to Talk About Me with Toby Keith in 2001. He's still alive. He's 81 years old. As far as I know, he is retired. He's from Lakeland, Florida. So that's one thing I wanted to ask y'all about. This dude's a rad country piano player. He's got a good voice. Do you think in the 60s, if you weren't from the South and you had all this talent, they were like, well, you're a songwriter. We can't put you on the front, son. You ain't from Texas or Kentucky. Or am I just reading too into it?
Well, he's from Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah, but back then, man, if you think about the old school stars,
yeah,
none of them were from Iowa. I mean, Jerry Jeff Walker, I think, pretended to be from somewhere else. He was from Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. Then he just sort of like adapted the Texas kind of lifestyle, and then like that became like, yeah, quasi character. It's like that's who Jerry Jeff is, but that doesn't make sense from a guy from Buffalo. So by God, he's from New York. But I'm
not saying I know that. That's just a little theory I had.
And restate what you said exactly again.
I wonder if you come to Nashville in the 60s or in 70s and 50s, and you are talented and you have a good voice and you can play piano like this dude. I mean, he was good enough to be in Marty Robbins' band when he got there.
Right.
And they were like, you got good songs, but we're going to give you a publishing deal instead of a record deal because you can't be from Florida and sell records to to our fan base.
Either that or he just had no interest in that lifestyle. You know, I could see some.
But he did put out his own records is why I'm not sure if that's true. But maybe. Yeah,
I'm just saying I could see him being like, I don't really want to be the star. I want to be because, like, you know, there's some of them writers type. It's like I want to do everything but have to deal with the public and shit, you know? So I just would rather, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there could be a myriad of reasons, but yeah, I mean, there's probably definitely what you just said has happened several times.
This motherfucker wrote, he stopped loving her today.
Well, I was saving that one. But yeah. That's the penultimate. I wanted to ask Tushar, are you familiar with that song, Tushar? He stopped loving her today.
Nope.
So it is argued by most people to be the greatest country and Western song of all time by George Jones. Was released in 1980. I'm so glad we get to talk about it and George and all the stuff. Okay. So you don't know that song. What Trey?
So George Jones, you know, he used to fuck up a lot. He stayed fucking drunk.
Yeah. He drunk can't get right. Hitting,
you know, in his own way, but which didn't hit for the world around him, generally speaking.
It hit for the world, just not the direct world around him.
Like literally his wife.
Yeah.
Yes. But I don't remember exactly. He went through some shit at one point in his career. He'd already been George Jones, been hitting. And then it might've been when he fucking got arrested on that tractor one of the things happened with him and he went through some shit and was not in a good place and his career was fucked up or whatnot for a little bit. And then he came back and his lead comeback single was fucking He Stopped Loving Her Today. And it's just, you just can't keep some of them down, goddammit. Coming back with that to just cement arguably the greatest song ever written is just,
Drew, you may can correct me, but I'm pretty sure that Tyler last week on Cocaine and Rhinestones was alluding to the fact that when He Stopped Loving Her Today, until they arranged it differently, it was almost like supposed to be a comedy of some kind.
I didn't listen last week and I don't know that story, but I could see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a dark comedy. Like it was never supposed to be like the most.
Yeah, it is gut wrenching and a little tragic comedy. Tushar, I was planning to do this. And I have some things for us to talk about while you do it. And I want you to go listen to He Stopped Loving Her Today in its entirety really quickly, because I want to take advantage of the opportunity to, in real time, get someone who's never heard that song, as far as we know, reaction to it, and pull up the lyrics as you listen so that you can keep up with the story more easily and you don't have to do it separately, because I want you to really experience what it is. You can mute us or whatever you want to do.
Sammy Kershaw did a tribute of it to it in the 90s. If y'all want to just cheat and do a goddamn episode about Sammy Kershaw's version of He Stopped Loving Her Today, you know, I'm for it.
It feels wrong.
It feels so wrong.
You're trying to get in on that reaction video money.
Yeah, that's what's up.
That worked. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go listen to it.
All right. Should I take you off screen? Nah, he's on screen. We can watch his face. If he doesn't mean wild. If he starts crying, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Wait, he can still hear us though. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Oh yeah, that don't hit.
I don't know what to do about that.
I removed him from the stream four now.
All right. Yeah, I hope he comes back and he's just like, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh yeah. So he was sad. What a pathetic guy.
I look so fucking pale and stupid, and my lips are so goddamn red. And
well, just so you know,
my arms ain't recording. Right.
His arms ain't right. And for some reason, when I go this mode, my whole head in the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It is. That's wild. Making Joe's head look small.
Your what I wanted to talk to y'all about.
That ain't never happened.
What I wanted to talk to y'all about, or we can just talk about our heads if you want. What is Bobby Braddock still has a publishing deal? They say he's still working. He's 81.
So he probably does a lot of co-writes.
Is that what does he do?
I bet that he goes in, and if he's still got the publishing deal, I bet he probably finishes a bunch of stuff or gives a lot of songs a once-over. Like, when some kid's stuck, he'll come in there and be like, hey, change this word to that word, you dumb fuck. I mean, I'm making this up, but that's probably a lot of what a type of dude does.
Yeah, I have no idea how none of that works.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up, I don't want to take anything away from the man. He had a hit no one and a hit no nine. But he definitely slowed down, and obviously because he got old. But I kind of wonder, this is maybe me wanting it to be true, that whole every generation thinks the new country's garbage. Maybe the industry got so shitty that there ain't no room for somebody as good as him anymore. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
In his one specific instance, it could just be, I mean, you know, you go on streaks where it's just...
Yeah, my man didn't have streaks.
No,
had hits. Every year, almost.
I know. I'm just saying, though, 90s. It's not like, but my point is, it's not like that doesn't mean that guy couldn't have gone through a couple years where he was blocked and then was just like, well, who gives a fuck? I've got plenty of money.
But what's maybe more in my mind, it's either that, he just got old or the industry got so shitty he didn't want
it. It's both, I think.
But then he came, you said he came back and did the Toby Keith fucking shit. So it's not like he was incapable.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he didn't have another one for 8 years.
That's I just don't think it's that weird that a dude that got into his 70s, country music's changing as much as we.
Yeah, right. No, I'm with you. Like, he was like, fuck it, I don't have to do this.
That he wasn't, you know, the same thing he used to be after that happened. Like, I feel like that all checks out, you know, and there's nothing really that weird about that.
But it might not have been them being like, we're not fucking with Bobby Braddock. His stuff's not doing it right now. Instead of it might have just been him being like, I got plenty of money and I don't want to write for these fucking dipshits.
That's kind of what I meant. I didn't really mean them saying, you're out, old man. I meant like, and again, I'm maybe stretching because I hate current country music. I meant like, country music sucks so bad. You know, that a guy like this, he can't write. He don't want to write honky tonk, but donkey.
Yeah. Also, that's probably around the time he had grandkids, too. You know,
that's true.
He might just be like, I missed my kid's birth because I was hitting too hard. So,
well, maybe I'll be here for possibility. People Are Crazy did go number one. I Want to Talk About Me did go number one. Time Marches On did go number one. Texas Tornado by Tracy Lawrence did go number one. He did get to leave on four straight number ones. He may have been like, you know what?
Yeah, it's good enough.
Tushar, what's up, buddy? You back?
Holy shit, that song's crazy. I gotta tell you.
It's rough, isn't it?
The first girl that I ever told that I love her, it was post-college.
Gay!
My man's already, he's a nostalgia talking about a girl who broke his heart. Country music's doing it to the Indian Outlaw.
Man, I said that to her. I was like, I finally said, I love you. And she, she was kind of with another guy, but I knew that. And I was like, I love you. Yeah, and I told her that I would, I'll wait for her. And she was like, no, you won't.
It
just moved on.
Are you saying, and you did? Because you are the most single motherfucker I've ever known.
I'm still waiting. Wait for her.
Is that what you're saying? This song made you think about that girl? That was some unrequited love.
Damn.
Indian girl?
Indian girl. She has kids now.
Get your parents to arrange a marriage.
Change it. Yeah, yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Then they have to say yes.
Get
the
upgraded model.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you think of us? He stopped loving her today. What do you think of Bobby Braddock now?
I mean, that's just a
something else.
That's a deeply, deeply sad song, and it's everything. I mean, it's about bitches, fundamentally. One bitch.
Hey, I'm still listening, but I'm gonna pay in this can.
Things I do.
Yeah, that's also a song about bitches by Gypsy Speedboat. I'm still listening, but I'm gonna pay in this can. That's in the key of dick. All right, yeah. Let's get back to the lyrics.
I didn't put it together that she's like, oh, that's he did love her till he died, and then
you
he stopped loving her.
Yeah.
All right, finish peeing in the can before you start insulting me for being dumb.
That's a good point Tushar's making. All right, we get right at we're back and we're right into the bridge, as it were. The south moves north, north moves south. A star is born, a star burns out. The only thing that stays the same is everything changes. There it is. Get it, Corey.
Everything changes.
You got a Tracy Lawrence thing where it's like a lot of it's up here.
It's nasally.
It's also deep.
Tracy Lawrence was actually, when I was a kid, he was the first dude I realized that I could kind of like imitate.
Yeah.
It was kind of the same as doing like Willie Nelson, but you do get a little bit more, deep. So yeah. On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again.
That's really good. You should be doing that instead of Travis Tritt from time to time, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Willie wig.
But yeah, Tracy Lawrence is very much in my register, which is the high nasally Alabama register.
Is he from Alabama?
I don't know, but he just seems like
Tracy Lawrence. He's from Atlanta, Texas.
Nice.
Who knew? Atlanta, Texas. Grew up in Arkansas. Moved to Nashville when he was like 20 or 22 or something like that.
Because of this episode, or did you just know that?
Yes.
Fun fact.
I clicked around on his Wikipedia earlier, but that's
fun
really
fact
all I remember.
That I know. Atlanta, Texas is closer to Atlanta, Georgia than it is to Dallas, Texas.
That is a fun fact. I'd never even heard of Atlanta, very Texas. I was like, well, of course there's an Atlanta, Texas, mm-hmm. But I don't know anything about it.
Yep. I thought that was a real fun fact.
That's wild.
Yeah, because Atlanta and Dallas are all the way on the other side from each other, and it's just...
Wait a minute. Dallas, it ain't over there by El Paso and shit.
I don't know.
And obviously Georgia's to the east of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call him out, dude. He had a fun fact. Now you're making
for the record. I didn't make it up. If it's wrong, it's because I heard a wrong thing. You know what I mean?
El Paso.
It may be it's El Paso, Texas.
I bet it is.
Okay, right. The Dallas part might not be
right.
Yeah.
Texas is huge.
There's a place in Texas that Atlanta, Texas is closer to Atlanta, Georgia than it is to that place in Texas.
If this goes for three more paragraphs, he'll be furious.
He's handling it pretty well right now. He started getting a little defensive, but it wouldn't be too far.
Once I realized what you were, I thought you were just trying to, I thought at first you were saying the entire notion of what you're saying is bullshit, but you weren't. You were just disputing the Dallas part, and I was like, oh, right, I'm actually not 100% sure about the Dallas part. You know what I mean? I just threw Dallas out there thinking that's what I heard, but No, I'm fine. I'm maturing, God damn it.
I'm maturing, God damn it.
Fucking piece of shit,
All right, let's discuss this bridge before we burn to. South moves north, north moves south. Is that just a upside down, downside up thing? Or do you think that's a culture comment? Am I reading too much into that?
No, I don't think you're reading too much into it at all. I mean, I do think it's a little bit of both, but I mean, that literally was happening all that. I've got on both sides of my family, both of which, originated in the upper Cumberland there. But on both sides of my family, I have great aunts and uncles and cousins and shit like that. who are up in Indiana and stuff, who I barely Absolutely. Know because they Cincinnati's all moved,
full of hillbillies.
They all moved up there at the same time for work.
Work you know? Back yeah. in they moved to Detroit then, to work on cars back in the, you know then.
Yeah, right. So that was a huge thing that was happening, and also North moved people south, retired carpetbaggers. You know that
and whole, when they retire
thing. So like
yeah,
coming down funny. Here to be racist. I come down, you know, I was like, well, you know where the good racism's at down there. I gotta head yeah. down there before I die and get my racism in. That's what a lot
I'm tired of Detroit in the South. They don't let them have hammers.
Yeah,
that's right. I was meaning though culturally, your way makes way more sense. I thought maybe this was a commentary a little bit on like Gone Country, the Alan Jackson song, mm-hmm. where like mm-hmm. Braddock is noticing that people in Indiana have rebel flags now, as we've seen.
Yeah, right.
And people in Nashville were probably starting to sag their pants in the 90s and listen to Nirvana or whatever.
Yeah, maybe that too. I think melting it's my thing.
Yeah,
your thing definitely makes sense.
I definitely always thought it was like, you know, people from the South moving up north into Detroit specifically like to work on cars. And then like, it's funny because I didn't even think about the carpetbagger aspect, but of course that's true. Mine was just like everybody from the North, when they retire, they move south. You know what I'm saying?
Carpetbaggers too.
That too.
They are, but I'm saying like not everybody that moves south is strictly to like rape the land. Sometimes it's just to buy a condominium.
And be racist.
And be racist. Of course. Well, some of them are Jews. I don't think that they come down here just to be racist. Maybe.
Okay, but the Jews. Listen, let's talk about the Jews.
Okay, now, light it up.
The Jews that come down here, you know, yeah. here in air quotes, they are going to Florida.
I know.
And their car broke down.
They're going yeah. to the southern part of Florida. They are a big part of the reason why the southern part of Florida ain't really the South. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. More, yeah,
them and the Cubans keep going. Let's see where.
Yeah,
this goes.
Them and the
yeah.
Cubans.
Yeah, I know.
I don't blame either one of them for that.
Trey doesn't claim that. The Jews or the Cubans.
I was just about to say, and I'm not sitting here saying we shouldn't claim the Jews. That ain't what I'm. That ain't what I mean.
The Cubans.
I'm just the Cubans down there in South Florida. It's not what I'm saying. I don't really know what I'm trying to say. I'm saying
I get it.
The Jews are.
It's
not
why
the
there's
ones.
Not really a Southern culture there because it's not people that were. Yeah, it's yeah. like it's yes. people that moved and, there. From, yeah,
and the Yankees and the other Yankees and other carpetbaggers just have to come to the other states. I don't think they're generally. I'm not saying none of them are Jews, but
yeah, some of them are Jews.
That ain't where the Jews go.
Yeah,
I have lived in South Florida. I think you're completely right. I will only note that in the rural parts of South Florida, there's a lot of farmland and rodeo type shit, but it's honestly more akin to Texas. Than mm-hmm. it is the South, and I think it's because of Mexicans that have moved there since the 1960s and 70s. You know, it has nothing to do with anything from before that, I think.
There you go.
Do you guys know any kind of redneck Jews?
Mm-mm.
We've met a couple, but I don't yeah. know them personally at our shows.
Now, our buddy Ben, who
yeah, is I was gonna say Wheeler.
Fantastically awesome. He's from Kentucky and is Jewish. He's not like super. He's not super rednecky dude, but he's. You know, pretty Kentucky.
He's good at it, though. He's yeah. Wheeler Walker Jr., Tushar, if you're familiar with that gentleman's yeah. work.
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God. Am I going to have to make you listen to another song in the middle
yeah,
of
Yeah, leave and go listen to Fuck You, Bitch, and come back. You will love, yeah.
love
Tushar, you will love Wheeler Walker Jr. so much. You
we'll
will.
Do that later, but do it. Don't leave.
Yeah. I can't believe. Okay. I mean, I can believe, but I'm excited that you're just now going
to
hear.
Me too. I'm about to send you the best one.
You are gonna absolutely,
guys. This is like a master class, master race.
Tim Blake, you know who Tim Blake Nelson is, Tushar, the actor.
Uh huh.
You definitely do if you see him. If you don't know just by the name, he's a redneck Jew. He's from Oklahoma, and his family's Jewish. And
there's quite a few Jews in Alabama, we've met some at our shows. We met one in New York who grew up in Alabama. Remember, he rolled tide at us. And yep. he said, I'm an Alabama Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, the only thing that stays the same is everything changes. Everything changes. I mean, that's obviously the thesis of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Time Marches On being the hook and Everything Changes being right here in the bridge. You know, I don't have to say it. It's great. It's phenomenal. Bobby Braddock, one of the greatest songwriters of all time. Bob Dylan ain't never done nothing like this. Sorry.
Agreed.
Took your bit, Joe.
That's fine. All right.
Last verse. Sister calls herself a sexy grandma. That's every one of my mom's sisters.
Yeah, it's so great.
Every single one of them. Brother's on a diet for high cholesterol. Mama's out of touch with reality. Again, God gave Flo Alzheimer's. This song is my family. Mm-hmm. Daddy's in the ground beneath the maple tree. Only difference is we kicked him out of the goddamn family. I don't know where he's buried, and I hope he's in hell.
He's in hell, buddy.
Don't worry. Yeah,
did you say go, dog?
Sure, he's in hell, dude.
As the angels sang an old Hank Williams song, I love that.
That's so great.
Time marches on.
So how old you think the kids are here? Because I know it's sexy grandma, but 55. Buddy, I knew a 37-year-old grandma in Salina. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I do.
The high cholesterol part, I was just going to say 55, but I mean, you know.
55 and 60.
Yeah. I was
probably 50s. 5 years between them, maybe four.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the 50s, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, well, it doesn't really also, it doesn't say when the dad died.
Is that present day in Time Marches On? Do you know what I mean?
Up until when this song.
Then it was 60s. So in the 60s, they're probably around 16 and 20 or something like that. And then now he's in present day, which is 1994. So it's 30 years later. So she's 46 and he's 50. That's about what we're looking at.
All right. Yeah, that checks out.
Did the trash math.
Which, I mean, yeah, plenty of people had to go on cholesterol medication earlier than 55 in the goddamn South.
Dude,
and, of course,
on it right now,
and of course, they become grandmas quicker because fucking, you know, because of how that goes.
Yeah, it's trash stuff.
It works,
Yeah, trash for sure. People, their cholesterol goes to shit early.
Absolutely.
Won't be long for me, dog.
Me neither, buddy.
The thing here that I wanted to point out, ain't it just the way that inarguably, mama still got the short end of the stick. Here.
Yeah, of course.
Daddy gets to be dead, and she has to be in her room.
Be
not
there,
knowing what her room
not
is.
Knowing nothing.
Yeah, just a fucking lunatic while her goddamn hippie son and whore daughter just run through the last of her $7 that she had.
He's still got feathers on her head, on his head.
Yeah. Yeah, man, don't hit.
No mention of, never mind, I'm an idiot. Mama got to meet, I hope, her grandkids and great-grandkids.
Maybe.
Like, I hope that brought mama joy in between the depression and the Alzheimer's.
She ain't been Alzheimer'd up for 15 years or however long, however old, you know, the daughter that has the baby that makes sister the grandma, I'm assuming she's probably 15, something like that. Teen pregnancy situation. I'm keeping it trash.
It was the 70s, dog.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But either way, I'm saying the sister's child who now has a child, they've been around for at least 15, 16 years, maybe even more, not too much more. But anyway, my main had Alzheimer's for that damn long.
No, it would kill you. Alzheimer's would have killed her by then anyway. Right. And
I agree. Probably got to meet this new whore in the family.
Yeah.
She takes after me. I'm saying is mama got to, I think, have some happiness between the depression and the Alzheimer's.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I think,
that's a strong word.
When she was barely making a sound,
love
that's when she was having fun.
Yeah. Grandkids will do it.
These doormats, as Trey named them, all of them, every one of them.
Yeah, that was me.
They definitely love
it. Was, but.
Yes.
It was me.
It was me.
I did do that.
Yeah.
But
you were just saying you can't give yourself credit for the invention of the word doormat as it pertains to
that. Way.
Yeah, you brought it up today, but our daddy's called them doormats.
Right. They did because
they,
you know,
well, they love kids. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they do.
All right.
Yeah.
Is there we got a Bollywood equivalent of Time Marching On here? You know, is there a Bollywood movie like The Godfather? Because to me, this song is like The Godfather, dude. It's spanning generations. Mm-hmm. There's not as much intrigue and death, but you know.
I can't think of something that, I mean, my knowledge of all of Bollywood, especially 90s Bollywood.
All I know about y'all stuff is the kind of like loud, insane sci-fi stuff. I don't know any of y'all's like more folky music with like sitars and stuff. I'm sure that would hit for me. I mean, I know.
Sci-fi?
Huh? No, with sitars.
How is it sci-fi?
Yeah, what are you talking about sci-fi?
Like the Bollywood stuff that we see is always motherfuckers dancing on a ceiling and stuff like that. Yeah,
but I wouldn't call it sci-fi.
I didn't mean sci-fi. You know what I mean? More futuristic stuff.
Over the top, insane shit. Yeah.
You didn't want to say magic Indian car.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You know. I mean, everything I see is like, oh, this is like their pop. It's their pop shit.
And shoot it at a castle. Yeah.
It's their. Yeah. It's right. But I don't know whatever y'all's version of fucking Bob Dylan is. I don't know who that guy is.
I do want to know who your version of Bob Dylan is. But first, Cho, I want to know if you were saying sci-fi to be polite. Or if you think Indians dancing on the ceiling is a sci-fi type thing, I'm just so excited.
No, it's like literally, I just meant like wild, fancy, wild, and futuristic type. Yes. And sci-fi just came. Yeah, that's just what came out.
Shit that cannot happen in reality.
Yeah. Like yes.
So there's a genre, a subgenre of music, and not Bollywood, but just Indian music called guzzles. And they are
guzzles. Yeah. That sounds like a drink in Star Wars.
Guzzles, you will.
Example
is that Bucket's favorite genre?
Yeah,
but these are more. They're more like poetry. Like they lean more on the poetry side, which that has these themes. But Bollywood is more, as I said, I've said before in an episode before. This is they're more tied to like Bollywood films. And Bollywood films, I mean, I'm sure I can ask my mom if there's something equivalent to like a life encompassing thing, but there's certainly guzzle songs that aren't maybe as popular, but they addressed something like this that is, but I've never done an analysis of any music on this level where I'm looking at this three part kind of full, as you say, Godfather thing. And I'm gonna see if there's anything that I can throw out there and maybe bring it up when we post this. But like, I can't think of anything that to answer your question. I can't think of anything like this. But one thing I was thinking about during the analysis of this song is that it really is. It's almost like the rise and fall of like the American Empire. Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but everyone on this, like these people, seem alone. It's very sad. This song is we're trying to find where the love is in between all this, because we have to presume there's some love happening. But the daddy don't give a shit. He started new families. The brothers checked out. I mean,
you're right about that. Again, it was ubiquitous when I was a kid. I knew I liked it before I felt like I even understood what the song was about. Then like at later thinking back on it, I did not remember it as sad or depressing or hopeless or whatever you want to call it as it is. I just remember it's like, oh, yeah, it's like a nostalgic passing of time. It, you know, nothing we can do about it. The only thing that stays the same is everything changes, right? That was the whole thing with the song. I kind of forgot all the sort of like loveless
death
marriage
and lunacy. Yeah.
The futility of. Hope shit going on here is, you know, nothing seems to hit.
Well, when you hear it as a young man, you're like, hell yeah, daddy, get it. You know what I mean? Drinking beer, fucking whores, then I'm out.
He smokes pretty much. That sounds cool.
Yeah. And only basically, when you get a little bit older, you start seeing it from the woman's perspective and you're like, oh man.
Yeah. This is going to be in a museum when China takes over. It's going to be like, look, American music. This is a reflection.
So do you think this song's good enough to be in the Chinese Museum of American Music?
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Braddock, dude.
Exactly.
And what rap song will they compare it to? I've thought about this one quite a bit. Dear Mama, sort of. There's a song by Nas called Daughters that I had never heard before. But he like talks about her posting pictures on Instagram. There's a whore element. His own daughter's kind of being a whore, but he has to deal with the fact that he used to be a whore. But it's tough. I couldn't find one that spanned many generations.
And is indifferent to any one character. Like, Dear Mama is about his mom and his relationship.
And it's full of love. And as you pointed out, this one's full of sadness. Now, there's a lot of sadness in Dear Mama, but there's a lot of love.
Yeah,
I've been sitting here trying to think of an example for the past few minutes because I knew it would come up, and I ain't got shit, honestly.
What about Life Goes On by Tupac?
or Changes.
That's about all his.
I was sitting here thinking of Changes, and it's like, yeah, that's what I thought. But I was like, it's not as, like, obviously this isn't as intense, but like the whole theme of Changes is that, like, it doesn't. It's, you know what, right, I mean?
That's true. Oh, wait, yeah. I got one. It's Tupac.
Or here we go again.
I ain't mad at you.
It's about forgiveness.
As young, he kills him, though.
Right, yeah, that's true.
At the last verse, he kills his friend because his friend's trying to mess with his drug game. But it's all about growing up together. One goes to prison. The other one's, it doesn't span generations, but it spans at least 3 decades. And it starts them as little kids and fucking each other's sisters and playing in the streets. Then their lives go separate ways. The way they come back together is one's a drug dealer and the other one's a community leader now. And he kills the community leader because he's fucking up his drug game, which... That's fucking dark. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's one of them.
Count it.
I think that Daddy definitely woke up in the morning and asked himself if life was worth living or should he blast himself a couple times. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. Looking at that shotgun.
Yeah.
Changes is so good. I can't wait to do the hip hop version of this podcast.
We can totally do that. We can at least do like spinoff episodes and stuff for sure.
All right, let's give it a rating. I'll start with Trey because it's always annoying.
It fucking is.
Just on the note of the rap thing, did y'all ever hear "Still a Bitch" by Lil Troy?
Or "Still a Bitch" in my book. That was my brother's favorite song.
That's like a 90s country song that was by rappers. That song is wild, man.
You're right.
Still a bitch in my book. That's literally how they sang it. Okay, on a future episode, we're at least going to circle.
We can do that. Yeah,
Wheeler should cover that.
Yeah, because it, you know, it fucking works. It came out in the 90s. Anyway, I give this song a 3. How about that?
Okay. Yeah.
We're doing thirds officially now, by the way, if you do fractions. We're doing thirds officially because, you know, we're
just that makes sense. Okay. So it's either 2, 2 1/3, 2 2/3, or 3 or lower, obviously. But that's how it works.
I don't think we're going to run any lower ones. Amy's Back in Austin is probably the worst song.
We might, dude. Eventually, yeah. Okay. Well, because we're covering exclusively ones that we remember and like. We might get into it and be like, oh yeah, right. For me, it's a fucking 3. Again, I know I'm that guy every week, but it just fucking is. It's great. I love this goddamn song. I've always been a sucker for very cinematic, I feel like I'm there songs. And like you said, I think that the fact that we all remember a music video for this, but there isn't one, is a testament to how good this goddamn song is. Because I've seen it, and I bet you we've all seen the same thing.
That's a really good point, Corey Forrester. That is 6 Earnhardts, and I was going to go 2 2/3 until you made that point. I think I got to go 3 Earnhardts.
Thank you.
I'm going to go 3.
Yeah.
12 Earnhardts.
12 Earnhardts. And what I loved about the song just acoustically is that almost to me, a country song is not a country song unless it has a weeping violin in there.
If you're going to play in Texas, you have got to have a fiddle in the band. Thank you,
Tushar. That is what they say.
That is true. A song also, Tushar, if you were wondering why he's screaming at you.
Tushar, listen to "The Old Violin" by Johnny Paycheck.
Oh my God, son! Yeah. It might be sadder than "He Stopped Loving Her Today."
Goes too hard.
It goes too hard.
What's it called?
Listen, that song "Drunk," you fall to pieces.
The old violin by Johnny Paycheck.
Dude, now, here's why it's sadder than "He Stopped Loving Her Today." Because "He Stopped Loving Her Today," I'm like, man, it's about a woman. You know what I'm saying? Get over it.
And he chose it.
And he chose it. Right. Old violin, man. Woo-wee. Yeah, do that.
That's the greatest. Johnny Paycheck is one of the greatest names I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's awesome. He's just ripping off Johnny Cash, which is what's so funny.
Yeah.
Before I let y'all go, here's a note from last week. I wanted to, it's been more than a week, but the last episode, Strawberry Wine, I wanted to note on the podcast, in Florida, the age of consent is 18 years old.
Okay.
The space between is 2 years. Hold on. The Romeo laws apply, but all the Romeo laws do is prevent you from having to register as a sex offender. If you're 19 and she's 18, 18 and 17, you can still get fucked.
Let me very briefly note something, too, because I had some things I wanted to know about that episode. So since you've done it, what I never clearly said, because I was drinking, that, but saying it now, we don't know where Strawberry Wine geographically takes place, about that. Correct? Okay. Well, so my only point was, I realize that in some places the laws are different and it's illegal in some places, but in other places in the South, it's not illegal. We don't know where it takes place, so we don't have to assume that it's fucking rape. We could just ignore that and move on.
You did say that, but you also said you don't know the laws. You don't know shit. That ain't true.
I just implied that. I said, anyway, yeah, okay, we good. Hell, we good. We
gotta
go.
All right.
We
do gotta go.
We gotta get out of here. We got a thing. Seeing's next week, and we may have a special guest next week. Thanks to everybody.
Bubba Shout the Podcast, and that's right, a show about country at its height. Don't expect no shit from 2005. Bubba Shout the Podcast.